Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You're listening to Affected by Altitude, a Colorado Rockies podcast for and by Rockies fans on Rocky Mountain Rooftop. Thank you for joining us as we discuss all things baseball and Colorado Rockies.
Here we go. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Affected by Altitude. We're recording this the day of that you're probably hearing it, hopefully, on this Monday, April 15th. Hopefully, you got your taxes in. I'm looking at you, Evan.
I did my taxes months ago.
Oh, okay, then. We're good.
Yeah, I'm not Homer Simpsoning it, where I'm just shoving everything into an envelope and running screaming to the post office.
You're more of a Ned Flanders type, I see.
Correct.
Didn't he do it like July 4th or like New Year's Day?
Yeah, it was like January 1st or something.
Yeah,
like he woke up, well, time to do the taxes.
Yeah. And oh,
it has been 0 days without a Simpsons reference here at Affected by Altitude.
It's true. We love The Simpsons here. Oddly enough, the perfect connection with the Albuquerque Isotopes.
Oh, you know, occasionally Albuquerque. Albuquerque!
But this is Affected by Altitude, a Colorado Rockies podcast, part of the Rocky Mountain Rooftop Network, part of the Fans First Sport Network. I am Skyler Timmons. You already knew that if you've been a longtime listener. And joined here, as always, with me is Evan Lang, wearing a rooster hat.
Yeah, my sister went to Hawaii for her anniversary and brought me back this cool hat with a chicken on it, because apparently in Hawaii there are just like chickens everywhere, particularly roosters. Apparently the story is that like a big storm at some point, like back in the olden days, picked up and disseminated a bunch of chickens throughout the islands. And now they're just kind of feral animals that wander around the islands there. They're like the pigeons of Hawaii. It's like how in a Futurama, owls have replaced pigeons. In Hawaii, it's chickens, apparently.
Chickens more delicious to eat than pigeons, I would assume.
People do eat pigeon, though. They call it squab, though, or something like that, to make it sound fancy, but it's pigeon.
Yeah, nothing sounds more appetizing than something named squab.
I mean, would you rather eat squab or pigeon?
I go back to the pigeon. Squab just sounds weird. I don't know what's in that squab. Anyways, we're not here to talk about menu items, but you can check out an article
squab
over at Purple
coming
Row.
Soon to Coors Field. Only on the club level with the $30 lobster rolls. It's the squab.
Squab's only available to those that sit in the rock piles.
You have to stun it with a souvenir bat. Yeah. And then fry it on the hot bleachers.
Yeah,
when it's just 95 degrees outside.
Take it to a station, they pluck it for you, and then prep it, and then you just take it out and just slap it on the bleacher right next to the old man shirtless tanning. Ugh. Anyways, you can always go check out an article over at purplerow.com to find out more about new menu items at Coors Field. There's always new stuff. Man, I wish they had that s'more shake, that campfire shake that the White Sox have. That thing sounds delicious.
So good. So last year they did at Helton Burger have a somewhat similar shake, like a s'more shake. But nothing for me is going to beat the Elvis shake that they had at Helton Burger a couple of years ago. That was banana and vanilla ice cream with Cracker Jack and peanut butter sauce and a piece of candied bacon. It was very good.
There you go. That's what killed Elvis.
I mean, there were a lot of things that killed Elvis.
Yes, indeed. And as Ozzie Smith is at his house, he said, neat, and took a picture. But we're here to talk about Rockies baseball, and it's been a little while. We had a hectic schedule over the weekend. Evan was busy doing familial stuff. I was calling baseball games for the local college, so it was hard to find a time to record our usual time. So we have a lot more to talk about here as the Rockies finished up a homestand. They've started a new road trip in Canada that they finished up, and they're now headed to Philadelphia here on April 15th to go play the Phillies. How have you been feeling, Evan, during that Rockies first homestand, and just where you're at here in the Rocky season thus far? It ain't pretty.
I will say it ain't pretty, but it's less soul-crushing.
After that first road trip?
There's been a lot less just getting absolutely obliterated so far. Which is a nice change of pace. We've actually seen the rotation round out into, while not being great, being, you know, better, at least serviceable.
Palatable, yeah.
Joel Milholm on Purple Row wrote a nice article about, you know, at the time the 0-7 Rockies shouldn't have been the starting rotation, which has a record of 0-7, shouldn't have been winless, because while they haven't been good, it's really not entirely on them. And we've seen people start to round out. The last couple starts from the folks in the rotation have all been pretty solid, especially finishing up that homestand. Now, things didn't go great during the road trip except for the first game, but you know, overall the starting pitching has been less terrible. Granted, it's a big hole to climb out of.
Yeah. Let's start with that conversation here, talking about the starting rotation as a whole here in our first segment, because like you said, they've averaged out a little better. They're not great, but more kind of like average, I think would be kind of my assumption or my assessment of them.
Yeah, and it's tough because they had such a deep hole to dig out of. You know, last Monday, when right after we had recorded, they had a combined starting ERA of like 7.69 or something. It was bad. And after a week, it's rounded out into a much more palatable, like 6.52. But that is still handily the worst starting rotation ERA in all of baseball at this time. So they're still not good.
Yeah.
But there have been improvements.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of this, we can start the pitching. A big part of that horrible starting ERA, it begins and ends with Kyle Freeland, who, after a phenomenal spring training, we're like, okay, K-Free is back. This is the year for him. Comes out of the gate, immediately gets his hiney handed to him by the Arizona Diamondbacks. Then gets his hiney handed to him again in his second start. And then, no, things get a little better. I think his first start at Coors Field, we're seeing Freeland, he's made improvements, looked a little better, but it's still not what we want or expected or what we saw in spring training, he's still struggling quite a bit. And you can tell it's very frustrating for him. And he's already a super intense guy. So when you add failure on top of that and the pressure that he probably feels to lead that rotation, it's not a good recipe for success, Evan.
Yeah, you can tell he's pressing. You can tell pretty much everybody on this team is pressing right now. But for Kyle especially, it's tough because he had those just absolutely brutal first two starts. And he comes around, he comes back to Denver against the Diamondbacks and has, by all accounts, a perfectly cromulent start. You know, five innings, two earned runs, four total runs on six hits, two strikeouts, two walks. That's, you know, not amazing, but compared to what we had gotten, it is a big improvement. And then he makes his next start. It's against the Toronto Blue Jays. And overall, again, not a terrible start, not a great one, not terrible. Five innings, seven hits, four earned runs, two walks, three strikeouts. Very similar, honestly, to his start at Coors Field. And, you know, if he can continue to improve, that's great, but he also needs to not press. You know, what is it Marshawn Lynch said? You got to take care of your chickens, take care of your mental health. And I think that's going to be big for Kyle, because it's been pointed out a couple times, his body language, you can read it on his face. He is not having a good time. Mm-hmm. And it's tough because, you know, Kyle is, like you said, this very intense guy, and he's sort of the de facto leader of the pitching staff right now with Herman and Antonio Sensatella out. And it's been a tough transition into the regular season for him.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with like pitching angry, because we look at Mad Max, but there's a difference between pitching angry and like pitching frustratedly, like being frustrated while you're pitching. And I think that's where Kyle Freeland is he's pitching out of frustration more so. I just know that intense, that, you know, that adrenaline, pure testosterone, you know, being a man. No style of pitching, you know, being aggressive, coming after guys, you know, that bulldog mentality. He's not showing that bulldog mentality. We know he can do it.
Yeah.
We know when he is on and, you know, focused, and that intensity helps him and everything's going well for him. 2018, I think, is the perfect example of that. But it's always looking more and more that season was a fluke, which you hate to see it and you hate to say it. But it's becoming more of that reality of, man, what happened to Kyle Freeland? Like, what happened to that guy we used to have early on? Was it because mechanics started to get messed with? Is it all kinds of other things? Like, what has happened to Kyle Freeland? Shoulder injuries? What is it that's put him in this rough spot where he's at the start of the rotation, the number one starter, he's maybe like, what, the fourth, maybe even fifth? No, in terms of production and performance, like, it's just tough to see because you want him to do well.
And that pitching frustrated it. I think there's no better example than in his start against Arizona at Coors Field, where he took a routine grounder and he darted it at Alaris Montero. It looked like as hard as possibly could at Monty. And I was watching. It's like, oh, Kayfrey just tried to decapitate Monty. Mm-hmm. And if Monty hadn't been able to come away with that, you know, a 94 mile per hour fastball darted at him very, very quickly, then that could have caused that inning to spiral out of control. And that's the thing, is when you're pitching angry, when you've got that bulldog mentality, you're more on your A game than when you're pitching frustrated, because when you're mm-hmm. pitching frustrated, you're making mistakes.
Mm-hmm. You're getting up in your head, you know. And that always happened to me growing up, and until I kind of focused in, like, okay, I can't be getting really upset on the mound. Like, you can bottle that stuff up, but don't let it detract from you. Got to keep that bulldog mentality. Throw the next strike. Memory of a goldfish, I think, is the best thing a pitcher can have, is that memory of a goldfish. And okay, that didn't work. I'm going to come back, get this next guy.
Yeah.
And sometimes it feels like a lot of pitcher, and this has been a problem for several years with a lot of pitchers on the Rockies, it's that bulldog mentality, I think, is just lacking at times. They're getting flustered. They're getting frustrated. Oh, I didn't get this call. Things are spiraling out of control, and it's just not working.
And for Kyle, we already saw this kind of be a problem for him last season when he broke that dugout light.
Yeah.
Is, you know, it is okay to be frustrated and it's okay to be upset about your performance, but you can't let it leak out. You need to process it quick. Like you said, memory of the goldfish, process it quickly and forget about it. And I know that that is easier said than done. We all struggle with that from time to time, but right now it really is, you know, Kyle, you can tell, is not happy. And it's a bummer because we love Kyle. Everybody loves Kyle Freeland, but it's so difficult to watch him struggle like this because you know he can do better and he got off to such a bad start and you've seen him sort of round out now over these last two starts to looking a little bit better, you know, making it through five innings, not giving up a ton of runs, but now you've just got to see how things continue to develop. And I don't think we've seen the same level of emotion from the other guys in the rotation right now.
Yeah. And we'll quickly touch on a couple of these guys, but I want to focus on Ryan Feltner in a second. But Austin Gomber, he's, like you said, a lot of these guys, Cal Quantrill looked okay. He's looked pretty decent. Austin Gomber's looked a little better. Dakota Hudson, no, aside from a 5-run first inning against the Blue Jays, has looked excellent. Or at least, like we said, perfectly serviceable. Like, these are starts you're getting of, you can take this, like Quantrill, Gomber, Hudson. Like, if those guys were in the middle of your rotation, like 3, 4, 5, like, he'll take that. Like, they're giving the Rockies opportunities to win or at least keep them in the game.
Yeah. And before we get to Feltner, I do want to just shout out Dakota Hudson after giving up 5 runs in the first inning in his start against the Blue Jays, including a grand slam, deserves incredible props for turning it around and pitching 5 really good innings, honestly, after that first inning. Mm-hmm. Yes, the first inning was bad and it stank and it was the reason the Rockies lost. They couldn't overcome that one inning. But him shutting it down afterwards and getting through 6 innings is hugely important for the wear and tear on this team, on the bullpen, and for his own confidence of, yeah, that inning was bad, but what did we just say? You know, set it and forget it. Move on, and now we are doing the next couple innings, and we're going to get it done, and he got it done.
Yeah,
I saw somebody compare Dakota Hudson on his A game to Jordan Lyles on his A game. He's a guy who's going to go out there and eat innings, and sometimes he's going to give up a really crooked number, but then he'll be able to just chew through innings all the same. And honestly, that'll play. The Rockies need something like that in a season like this. And props to Dakota Hudson.
Yeah, and Cal Quantrill he's been messing, trying to find that feel on some of his pitches, but when he was on, like at his start at home, dude was dominant. You know, goes through a quality start, struck out a bunch of guys. Like, he can still turn out to be a really good acquisition this season. Same with Dakota Hudson. No, they're doing good stuff. They're not elite, but they're perfectly serviceable, fairly average pitchers. Problem is, most of the rotation is just average pitchers. But in a year like this, that's what the Rockies need. And that's what's nice, is having a guy like Ryan Feltner, who could maybe this could be the year he finally like puts it all together and breaks out as an elite pitcher, that potential that he has.
Yeah, Ryan Feltner has been, without a doubt, the best of the Rockies rotation so far. All of his starts have been very solid. He's had one really, really amazing start. He had it was that very windy, very cold day against the Tampa Bay Rays where he came out pushing. It was the second start of the season, 6 innings, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts, only 2 hits and 1 earned run. You know, of course, he fell back down a little bit to earth against the Toronto Blue Jays, gave up 2 earned runs. Oh no, what a nightmare on 8 hits, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. So a little bit more of a pedestrian outing, but overall it's been Feltner who, and we've been talking about it, is if he's going to establish himself, this is the year. It's been Feltner who's been coming out and showing he's got the most upside of anybody on this rotation right now.
And a big part of that is the Rockies pitchers are, I think, better. Most of them are at their best when they can get strikeouts. And Feltner can get strikeouts. When he's on and mixing his pitch as well, has that utilization, he can ride that fastball up and then toss in a good changeup when he needs to. He can change that eye level and a lot more variety in what he can throw. Whereas Dakota Hudson, that guy's pure ground ball specialist. That's who he is, and he knows it. And he does decent with it when he's on. But sure. Feltner is that different look in the rotation as opposed to a bunch of guys throwing 89 to 92 fastballs on the try to aim for the knees.
Yeah, and for Feltner, really all of his issues that he had against the Blue Jays were in those first two innings. Mm-hmm. The majority of his hits in both of those, both of the two runs that he gave up were in the first two innings. And he settled in nicely after that. And, you know, honestly, that's been the trend of this Rockies rotation. They are the worst first inning staff in all of baseball, like to a shocking degree. And they have something like a negative 20 run differential in the first inning.
Oh, gosh.
But then they settle in. But it also it really follows up with years past of the Rockies rotation, where I always called it the one bad inning effect, that the rotation would be really solid for the most part, but they'd have one bad or really bad inning that would be the downfall inning. And that's kind of how it goes this year, except for the majority of it's in the first inning.
Mm-hmm. Right out of the gate, which, man, they've only scored once. They've only scored first once this season, right?
I believe so.
Oy vey. Come on. Like, do we need to, like, send out a reliever to start the game? To, like, throw that first inning and then
what
starters
I really
can pitch 2-6?
Is, I mean, you joke about that, but I really do wonder if it is they come out the gate looking, opposing teams are coming out of the gate looking to attack, because they are going to be very aggressive and they kind of know what's up.
Yeah,
in terms of how they're going to pitch in the first inning.
Yeah. Could be. Maybe that's something they should explore. Go with the opener. You know, throw out Victor Vodnik. Let him throw the first inning and boom.
First inning or two. Vodnik, I've been very impressed with. Not a guy you'd consider to be a multi-innings guy, but they've been having him work 1-2 innings pretty frequently, and he's pitched very, very well.
Yeah. Something like that. Who knows? They got to figure something out. But starting rotation, it still ain't going to be pretty, but it's you can see progress in important aspects, but with a 4-12 record, there's still a lot of room to grow and improve. Yeah. And figure something out, because your reinforcements from AAA aren't exactly cream of the crop.
What reinforcements from AAA?
Exactly.
We'll talk about the minors a little bit later in the show. But the Albuquerque Isotopes are not having a good time, folks.
Yeah, at least on the mound, which has always been the case. But we'll go ahead and take a break here. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about some Rockies offensive players now. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on Affected by Altitude.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Chicka chicka.
Chicka chicka.
Welcome back here to Affected by Altitude. I'm Skyler. That's Evan, talking all about the Rockies baseballs. The Rockies baseballs. We're talking about pitching staff. Now, we'll move on to some offensive players. We've talked a lot about Ryan McMahon and Chuck Nasty. We've talked about Chris Bryant's struggles. But there's plenty of other guys that have actually been doing very solid, Evan, and two in particular that we're very excited about. One is Mr. Ezekiel Tovar, and the other is Mr. Brenton Doyle, both of whom are off to really good starts to the season. Tovar especially, but Doyle making some really good strides offensively. The changes especially he's made have paid off.
Especially Tovar, but especially Doyle.
Yeah.
No, they've been great. If it's all right with you, I would love to dive into Brenton Doyle, who has he looks like a completely different hitter. If you gauge him around this time last year, and obviously a little later is when he first got called up to where he is now, it is so apparent how much work he has put in to his mechanical adjustments, to his swing changes. And we talked about last year a lot how he was making those changes on the fly while he was playing. And we talked about over the offseason a lot how these changes are going to be so important, because you combine that with his excellent glove. If he can be even like a league average hitter at best, he's got a long and fruitful career ahead of him. And you look at Brenton Doyle, and he's been one of the most solid hitters on the Rockies right now. And it's really, really interesting to see, because he looks very comfortable at the plate. You could tell sometimes last year there's a little bit of discomfort, especially the way that he took some swings. But at the same time, you can also see that he's seeing the ball better. He's taking better at bats. His strikeout totals are still a little high, but they are drastically down compared to how much he was striking out last year. And he's drawn a couple walks, not a ton. He's drawn 3 walks, which is fine, not great, could definitely be better. But despite 21 strikeouts to 3 walks, his on-base percentage is still .323. And he's currently at time of recording sitting comfortably at an OPS of .848, which is good for, of qualified hitters right now, 3rd best or 4th best on the team. He's also got 3 home runs, because you know that he's got power. He's got power. He hit over 10 home runs last year, and he's making good pace this year to improve on that number. But I was talking about it on Twitter as well, that he looks so dialed in. He looks comfortable. He's taking these good at-bats. I know it's something that Rockies fans, and I hope Brenton as well, are very, very proud of in terms of his development. This is his sophomore season. You know, it wouldn't be unprecedented for him to slump pretty hard out of the gate, like Nolan Jones, and we'll talk about him in a second. But he's doing well. And if he can keep this up, just hitting the way he is hitting, that's going to be really big, not only for him, but for this team.
And he has 17 hits entering Monday against the Phillies. 8 of his hits have been for extra bases. So half of his hits have gone for extra bases. And we're seeing different ways. He's been dropping bunts, trying to drop in the bunt single, but really swinging that bat.
You know I love speedsters dropping bunt singles.
But here's the surprising thing, Evan. We're 16 games into the season, 0 stolen bases for Brenton Doyle. He's been caught once.
That is interesting.
So one attempt.
Honestly,
this team hasn't been running much.
It does kind of check where they were very aggressive in spring training, trying to steal as many bases as possible, saying our goal this year is to steal bases. And they just haven't been. And honestly, I think it's because they've been down constantly so far this season that they're not risking any of their base runners by having them attempt to steal.
Which they should show caution to the wind. What do they have to play for?
Yeah. I mean,
we're not aiming for the postseason this year, buddy. And yeah, by buddy, I mean Buddy Black.
You said that you were going to try and steal more. You need to try and steal more. And you've got this incredible speed threat in Brenton Doyle on the bases. Use it. The guy who's stolen the most bases right now is Ezekiel Tovar, and he's only got 2. You know who has a stolen base when Brenton Doyle doesn't? Charlie Blackman. 38-year-old Chuck Nasty with the wheels.
Yeah, so that's something I'd like to see more, is him getting on base more, because that's what we talked about. 22 stolen bases last year. How many more could he get if he was just on base more consistently? He's doing that part a little bit better. Where's the stolen bases? And that could come with he needs to draw some more walks so he can take advantage of that as well. But yeah, the team as a whole, Where's the speed? Ka-ching. Ka-chow.
Ka-chow.
We want some speed, but yeah, great development from Brett and Doyle, and excited to see how it turns out the rest of this year, because if anything, no, at the very least, oh, he puts in a good year, you got yourself a good trade chip, if you want, type of thing. Depending on what you have in the minors.
Don't trade my boy. I would be, you know how much I love speedsters, and I get very attached to specific players. Your Garrett Hampson's, for example, who's having a pretty decent start to the season over in Kansas City, had a really impressive stolen base the other day. Good for him. But Brent Doyle, don't do me like that. Don't threaten to trade my boy away.
Hey, if he brings value and you like something better in the minors, you got to trade him.
I will say that's the definite plan. Got to be the definite plan for Dakota Hudson, especially if he is if he continues to pitch the way he has. Someone's going to drop some prospects for him at the deadline, and you got to jump at that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. But really quick here, touch on Tovar.
Heavens me, is it Tovar time already?
It's just looking good. He's making those money bags ain't weighing him down, though there is some stuff with his agency, but we won't get into that.
Yeah, that's above our pay grade. How about, though, 135 OPS plus to start the season? So above league average, he's got an OPS of 906. He's hitting well. He's running well. He, you know, like a lot of players to start the season, he had sort of a defensive slump to start the season. Him, Nolan Jones, Brenton Doyle, even, where guys were clearly pressing to do more because the Rockies were just losing so bad each time. Like, we saw that with Brenton Doyle has an incredible glove, and so does Ezekiel Tovar, and they started the season with negative outs above average because you could tell they were pressing on defense. Mm-hmm. But things have evened out a little bit more. Their gloves look very even keeled, but it's the bats. And Tovar, man, he looks... It's the same thing. He's still occasionally fishing for those balls low and outside. Mm-hmm. The Cargos Gonzalez methodology of hitting, where there's never a slider low and out that he didn't want to swing at, or a curveball in the dirt that was like, you know what, that's something I can hit. But Tovar has very good bat speed, so he's getting to some of those, much like early Cargo did. But he's also hitting. He's got an on base percentage of .373. Which mm-hmm. I think he finished the year last year with an on-base percentage under .300. So that's already a big improvement. He's already got a couple home runs to his name. He's got some extra base hits. He's got the two steals, which are the most on the team. Tovar's been fun to watch. I'm very excited that he is locked in long-term. You know, whatever troubles with the agency there are, Rockies fans can at least be excited. They've got this young electric shortstop locked in long term. He is here and ready to go.
And what's good to see is still small sample size, just 16 games or so, but 50% hard hit rate on his contact, 91.2 miles per hour exit velocity average, hitting a ton of fly balls. Ground balls are at about 26%. Line drives 23.8%. So a lot more palatable, just like even keel. Okay, we need those walks to come up a bit. We need those strikeouts to get under control, as you see him in real time still learning plate discipline. And, you know, he and Chris Bryant, they love swinging at that pitch below the knees in the dirt. But just awesome to see that you see a guy sign a contract, and then he comes out and he's performing well. And you're like, yeah, that's why you do it.
And then what's funny is all three of these guys that we're talking about, the guy we're about to talk about and the two we are talking about now, they're the top three leaders with strikeouts. Uh-huh. But, and, you know, please stop striking out as much. Their strikeouts are kind of not as big a deal because they are producing otherwise.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You can, like, talking about with the Dodgers, yeah, they may lead the league in strikeouts, but why is that offset? Because they have guys that are absolutely commanding the offense. Rockies don't have that as much. But you can manage strikeouts when guys are producing, like a Ryan McMahon, Brent Doyle, Tovar. But that's good to see. But the Rockies need more guys performing. And one of those guys, the big one, Nolan Jones, who has been off to a rough start to the season. I think he's been confiding in his teammates about the pressure he's feeling and his struggles. And it's nice to see the Rockies confiding in one another, sharing their feelings, having those good powwows in the clubhouse. He's slowly making progress. We've seen that in Toronto. Slowly making progress, but he's still got a ways to go to get back to what we know he can do.
Yeah, it's hard for him. So you look at the first, let's say, three series of the game, or even the 16 games played, it's tough to break down. So we'll go 8-8. First eight games of the season for Nolan Jones, he was hitting with an OPS of 0.510. So batting average 156, on base 229, slugging 281. No home runs. He did have two doubles and a triple, struck out 12 times to just three walks. He was not getting hits. He didn't look comfortable at the plate. And then you turn around and look at the next eight games, and you can see immediate improvement. It's not great still. I'm not going to shoot sunshine up your skirt that there's still not more improvement to be made. He's hitting 226 over the next eight games, but his OPS is up to a much healthier 701. His on-base percentage is over .300. He got his first home run. He drew a couple more walks, still struck out a lot, but he's at least improving. And I think the more he gets dialed in, he's a self-admitted slow starter. And I do think he was also pressing because, you know, as we said, there was a lot of pressure after his season last year to come out of the gate performing just like that. And I have said more than once to other folks, if he's going to slump, it's going to be a lot like Trevor Story in his sophomore season, where Trevor struggled for a bit after a really, really impressive rookie campaign. And we're seeing sort of the same out of Nolan Jones right now. But you can also tell that the hitter that he was last year is still in there. The guy who on 0-0 counts can do some damage with an aggressive approach, still in there. He was one of the best 0-0 count hitters in all of baseball last year. And he's taking good, long, professional at-bats. I forget the exact number, but Nolan Jones is one of the league leaders in the amount of pitches per at-bat he's seeing. That's good. That's fantastic. It means he's battling. And there have been some things working against him. For example, he's gotten squeezed by a couple umpires so far in the first few series of this game. In the first few series of this season. And a lot of these nice long at bats are still ending in strikeouts, and, you know, good at bat, bad result, a strikeout, still a strikeout. But I'm pretty confident right now, as tough it is to have seen him struggle, that he's going to be able to keep turning it around. And I'm hoping that starts, you know, he's in his home state of Pennsylvania, and he can start with this series against the Phillies, just keep turning things around, because we've seen how important Nolan Jones is to this team. Defensively, he's looking better, especially after that just brutal first two series. And, you know, all we can do is root for the guy. I love Nolan Jones. I'm, like you said, I'm so glad that he's able to confide in and work with his teammates. There's an article on it where it's like Nolan Jones needs to, and his teammates and his team keep telling him this, he needs to relax and be Nolan Jones and stop pressing so much. And I think once that happens, he's going to round out.
Real quick, 4.743 pitches per plate appearance is what he's seeing this year so far. But yeah, it's one of those things where he's just putting that pressure. He wants to be the big contributor. There's a lot of guys on this team maybe putting pressure on themselves. I got to be the guy. I got to help this team contribute. We got to stop. We don't want to lose 100 games again. And no, I think Bud Black described in an article from Thomas Harding where he wants to be a big contributor, but that gets in the way, where then he's getting up in his head instead of just relaxing, playing baseball, being himself, being Nolan Jones. We don't need him to be anything more than that. He just needs to be what he was doing last year, which was Nolan Jones, showing up, playing hard, having fun. And that's what he talked about, you know, last season, Evan, right, when he got sent down to AAA, where his parents told him, like, just have fun. Don't worry about it. Just go have fun. And what happened when he did that? Tore up AAA. And then comes up to the big leagues, tears up the big leagues, and ends up being pretty much the most valuable Rocky last season, fourth place in the Rookie of the Year. We don't need him to be anything more than that right now. And as he relaxes and continues to grow and develop, he can, just by natural, you know, natural effects, he'll be that big contributor. Like, he doesn't need to force the issue. And so, Nolan, if you're listening to this, which we'll assume he is. He's a big fan.
Thanks, Nolan.
Yeah. That's my train of thought. But if he's listening, like, just have fun. Like, you're doing good. You're good enough. You don't need to be anything more right now.
And that's the thing with all the guys pressing, is I get it that everybody wants to be the guy who contributes and keeps this team from being another 100-loss team, because everybody was pretty clearly miserable last year about how bad the team was. But at the same time, now that the rebuild is initiated, you don't really need someone to be the guy who keeps the team from being bad. We just need the guy who's going to go out there and play his butt off and do his best.
Mm-hmm. And, like, fellas, there's no pressure this year. I know it kind of mean in a way to say, like, yeah, we don't expect anything from you. But what I mean by that is, what we expect is them, like you're saying, go out and just show improvement, continue to develop, be competitive baseball players, and have fun. And I was talking to my brother and my parents about this. Like, I can stomach a 9-7 loss, or a 6-2 loss, better than I can a 10-3, a 9-1.
No, 16-1.
Yeah, 16-1. Or I can't stomach when we get shut out. That's never okay, unless it's like 2-0. But there's no pressure. Like, I don't expect you to fight and win 100 games this year. I expect you to just play your best and try to avoid 100 losses. But I understand if it happens again, because that's where we are as a franchise.
Yeah. And it's very difficult, because nobody wants to be on a 100-loss team. But we set our expectations right out of the gate that what we're looking for this year is individual performances and improvements versus overall team record.
Who's going to be the guys to help us moving forward? And that's what the Rockies are at. Who are the pieces we need moving forward
of this organization?
And unfortunately, Chris Bryant has to be one of those pieces, because we're paying him $182 million. But whatever he's doing on the field, he's at least doing good in the clubhouse, being a leader among the guys. Like, Jonesy looks up to him, Doyle, a lot of these guys look up to KB, and he's doing his part. And he's going through his own struggles, so everybody's kind of in that same boat together. But hopefully him, like Brendan Rodgers, Nolan Jones and Brendan Rodgers, showing improvement, and it's what we just need, is it slowly but surely. Yeah, hopefully, like, in about a month, we're talking about how great they've been.
There are guys who are going to get off to slow starts, and it's tough for Chris Bryant, because he's always going to have those expectations against him. He's had a couple pretty good games over the last little bit, especially the two games that he played in Toronto, where, you know, three hits in 7 at-bats with 2 doubles. You know, that's much more like it. But then he gets hurt, and we don't know when he's going to be back now.
Rockies, Bud Black, I'm talking to you. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Bud Black. Stop putting Chris Bryant in the outfield. Stop it. Get some help.
Because what did we say? If you put Chris Bryant in the outfield, it increases his risk of getting hurt. And what happens? He made a catch and crashed into the wall, and now he is hurt.
You have Charlie Blackmon and Jake Cave for a reason, and Michael Tolia. Put them in the outfield.
Get some help.
Stop it. Get some help.
If you do put Chris Bryant in right field, stop it.
Yeah.
If you put Chris Bryant in right field, you go to hell before you die.
Oh, no. Put him, like, if your intent, put him in, like, super shallow right field and then shift Nolan Jones and Bretton Doyle into the gaps. It's just an extreme outfield shift. If that's what it comes to. He can be the rover, like in softball.
Put Brendan Rodgers in shallow right center.
And then just have an illegal shift.
Everything.
That's an illegal shift, Evan.
Oh, that's right. You can't do that anymore.
It's illegal.
You're illegal.
You go to jail for that.
Oh, what do you mean? What are you in for? Illegal shift.
Yeah.
I was playing on the wrong side of second base and too deep in the grass.
Yeah, my heels were touching the outfield grass from the infield.
That's messed up. You disgust me.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, just to close out this random conversation about good hitting, please stop putting Chris Bryant in the outfield. Even when he is out there, he's just his legs aren't good enough to have him out there anymore. And like Chuck's legs aren't good, but he's at least comfortable in that position.
And we've actually seen, you know, Chuck has been pretty solid out in right field this year. You know, there's been a couple times where it's pretty clear that because of his age and not having quite the legs he should, he's not getting as good of a jump as he might have. But overall, he's looked totally fine in right field. And I think giving him the occasional days off is also really helping him.
Man.
Well, I think we need to take another break, Skyler.
I'm just frustrated about the where you put Chris Bryant. Stop putting him in the outfield.
DH. If he's not at first base, he's the DH.
DH. Turn him into a second baseman. I don't care. Make him catch. But anything Rogers, but the outfield.
But Brendan Rodgers is actually starting to turn it around at the plate, and his glove is very good at second base.
Just in time to trade him. Get those sweet, sweet prospects. Anyway, until that time comes, we're going to take a break here, and we'll talk about some minor league baseball when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Why is minor league baseball spooky?
Welcome back here to Affected by Altitude. I'm Skyler. That's still Evan wearing that rooster on his head. If you're watching the video version, you'll see what I'm talking about. But let's talk some minor league baseball, Evan, because all the affiliates are in full swing, and you know it's not too shabby, aside from Albuquerque, which is always going to have its struggles. Offensively, there's some good stuff happening in Albuquerque, which has been the case every year. Pitching, but you know where the elite pitching is, Evan? Down in Spokane, Washington.
Or rather, up in Spokane, Washington, as it were.
Northwest into Spokane, Washington.
It's been, so this is very good timing in terms of recording, because this is literally what my article was about for today up on purplerow.com. Now, it's that the starting rotation for the Spokane Indians is special right now. And I know it's early. I know it's small sample size, but they have looked fantastic. But they've gone about 1.5 times through at this point. And, you know, of course, the two big names are Chase Dolander and Sean Sullivan, both of whom have been excellent, you know, sadly made mortal over this last go round where they each gave up their first earned runs of the season.
Cut them from the team.
I know, what scrubs. But you can't run a 0.000 ERA forever. It's never going to happen. And they got the Band-Aid ripped off. And despite giving up those horrible earned runs, still had really good outings. Plenty of strikeouts, limited walks, limited hits. They were good again this year. And Chase Dolander especially, and Sean Sullivan especially, are the two guys who are bolstering this very good Spokane Indians rotation that leads the Northwest League in basically every category. One of the best ERAs in minor league baseball for a rotation right now. They've got a 0.95 ERA through 9 total starts and 47 1/3 innings. So they lead the Northwest League in innings pitched. They have the second fewest hits, the fewest runs, the fewest earned runs, the fewest home runs, the fewest hit batters, the fewest walks, and the most strikeouts with the best whip and the lowest batting average. They're the best in their league right now, and they're better than some other pitching staffs throughout all of minor league baseball right now. And they're running a six-man rotation, which is something we joked about the Rockies doing, but everybody is pulling their part. So outside of Chase Dollander and Sean Sullivan, you've got Connor Stain, Mason Green, Victor Juarez, and Blake Adams, who are all pitching very well. And you've got three of those guys who have yet to give up an earned run. Some of these guys who haven't given up a walk yet. It's been really nice to see. Like, I know that we talk about, yeah, the Rockies rotation is struggling. They're not very good. They're one of the worst in the league in terms of overall numbers. But then you remember this year is about figuring out the future of the organization. And you look up to Spokane, Washington, the high A affiliate of the Colorado Rockies, and you're impressed by what you see. You know, some of these guys are not necessarily your big league starters of the future, especially some of the back end rotation guys, maybe Mason Green or Blake Adams or Connor Stain. But Dollander and Sullivan especially are the guys to look out for. And then I am really, really happy with, you know, the first time through the rotation, Victor Juarez had the worst start. And it wasn't even a particularly bad start. He just gave up a couple earned runs, walked a couple guys, and then turned it around. And his start to close out the week for the Indians was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot to like in the Spokane Indians rotation. And like I said, if you are not watching Rockies minor league baseball, now is the good time to start. They've got all the technical issues figured out. The Spokane Indians are on your TV.
Woo! Yeah. Woo! Yeah, I was watching Dollander's last start a little bit. Watched a little bit of it, and dude looks good. And Evan, I don't know what do we have to do to ensure that his arm never gets hurt. Who or what do we have to sacrifice?
A chicken, perhaps?
Okay.
I don't know. It's really tough, and I really don't want to get into the whole pitcher arms injury discussion, because that's a whole big conversation for a different day. But there's not really a whole lot we can do to guarantee he's never going to get hurt, or some freak accident's never going to happen. But right now, I think the best we can do is just make sure that his mechanics are sound, that we're not overworking him to start his career, and just let him do what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same for all of these guys, honestly. Just make sure that they're mechanically sound and they're staying healthy. It's the best we can do.
Mm-hmm. You have to give up one Rocky right now. You have to give up one of your more preferred guys on the roster. You have to give them up, and it ensures a healthy career for Chase Dollander.
On the major league roster?
Yes.
I don't like this choice.
One sacrifice. And it's not necessarily that guy's career just goes down the toilet, but you have to get rid of him. He's either not on the team, his career's over, something like that.
I mean, I suppose the easy answer is Charlie Blackman, because he's about to retire.
That's a cop out.
It is a cop out.
You found the loophole in my hypothetical. Foiled again.
Now I'm going to stick with it. Charlie retires at the end of the year and is done. Mm-hmm. And that means Chase Dollander stays healthy for his entire career.
Yeah,
there we go. Wins two Cy Youngs and is the first Rockies pitcher to win Rookie of the Year. Or no, second Rockies pitcher to win Rookie of the Year, because Jason Jennings. But the first Rockies pitcher to win Rookie of the Year since 2002. And he's an all-star and he's a Hall of Famer.
And he throws no hitters and perfect games every single time. That works for me.
That's a reasonable future.
Yeah, that is a,
I mean, I'm not asking for much. Come on.
That's a pretty good trade for the career of Charlie Blackman.
Sorry, Chuck. I'll trade this 38-year-old likely retiring outfielder for a Hall of Fame pitcher.
That's like when you turn on forced trades when you play franchise mode in MLB The Show.
I'll give you Pat Valaika for Mike Trout. Yeah. Who says no?
I'll give you Pat Valaika for Mike Trout, Jacob DeGrom, and Justin Verlander. And boom.
You know, while we're talking about minor leagues and you just brought up Justin Verlander, can I say how cool it always is when you have a superstar pitcher wearing a minor league uniform? Mm-hmm. They had a Verlander last week with the Sugar Land Space Cowboys, the Astros AAA affiliate. It's just always really cool to see a big name guy in your minor league jersey.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Verlander, when does he come back? Because he's on my fantasy team.
I think they said they're expecting him in May.
Make his season debut this Friday against the Nationals.
Oh, there you go. This Friday against the Nationals, Skyler. That's when Justin Verlander will be
back.
There
we go. Oh, but he hasn't looked good in his outings, but...
But a lot of rehab starts for established pitchers are less about the actual results and more about getting your timing and release points down, especially when you haven't pitched in a while. I'm not particularly concerned about Verlander. He's done this dance before. But you know who hasn't done this dance before in AAA?
Jordan Beck. Indeed. Jordan Beck, he's got a lot of fans on notice. They're like, let's bring him up. I'm not exactly there yet. Just because, just give him time to do his thing, to figure it out. Because we don't really have room for him on the big league roster right now. But for a little, he's 22, right? 22, 23? For a youngster playing his first year in AAA, not looking too shabby.
So his 1.131 OPS of qualified batters is the second best in the organization behind Zach Veen, who is also having a very, very good start to the season. He's gonna start climbing his way back onto the major prospect lists. But we're not here to talk. Well, we can talk about Zach Veen, but we're talking about Jordan Beck right now, and he's been fantastic. He's got a 7.14 slugging percentage with 4 home runs to start the season with AAA Albuquerque. He's 23 years old. This is his AAA debut. He's never played AAA before, and he's just been on fire to start the season.
Yeah, and it's tough to evaluate with the PCL because pitching is just horrendous in the Pacific Coast League, where hitting reigns supreme. And there's still some things he needs to work on, striking out, all this other kinds of stuff. But the signs are there of, okay, if he can put some things together, he can be a really special player that can be here sooner rather than later. And hopefully he can work on those things, limit the strikeouts, work with Jordan Pacheco and the coaching staff there to get better pitch selection and get that best so you can get to pitches easier, more consistently, and really utilize his whole skill set at the plate. Because we don't want a guy that, when he comes up and immediately starts seeing tons of curveballs and they have the scouting report on him, okay, he's going to swing at everything in the dirt. He can't hit a fastball up in the zone, and that's how we'll get him, and he just strikes out a ton. And then we're in the same situation that we're already dealing with the rest of the big league club. So excited to see if he can continue to make those adjustments and growth at that AAA level before they try to rush him up here.
Well, he had a really, really good series against the Sugar Land Space Cowboys. He only struck out 3 times.
Nice.
He walked 3 times. In total, went 6-for-21 with 2 doubles, a triple, and a home run. He's looked really good. On Saturday's game, he was a triple shy of the cycle, and the one win that the Isotopes got in that series against Sugarland was because of Jordan Beck. He hit the walk-off. And he's also playing across the entire outfield, too, defensively. He's got appearances in left, right, and center field. They've got him playing everywhere, which bodes well for finding a way, once we get deeper into the season, to fold him into the Rockies outfield rotation.
Maybe Chris Bryant's back is worse than we think, and then boom, there's an open spot for Sean Bouchard to come back. Anyways, yeah, it's good to see Jordan Beck doing well. Good stuff. And a couple of those outfielders, Jordan Beck, Benny Montgomery's doing pretty dang good down in Double A. He's had a couple home runs, doing good stuff down there. Zach Veen had like a 4-for-4 day the other day this past week with a home run, a triple, first two of the season. So there's some nice growth from some of those top prospects, high draft picks. And it's nice to see some of these guys performing and growing and, you know, fighting their way onto the scene because, well, you and I, we're both big fans of Benny Montgomery. We're believers in Montgomery. See Montgomery Burns. There we go. But also Zach Veen, and then Jordan Beck, a couple of these guys. Good stuff's a-coming. Good to see them growing.
Yeah, especially it's Benny Montgomery's finally up in Double A, after spending an extended time in the lower half of the farm system, you know, dealing with injuries, dealing with things like that, and now he's up in Double A and is off to a really good start. He looks great. He's made some great defensive catches. He's hitting very well. I'm really pleased to see that. It's the same in Double A with Zach Veen, where he definitely looks to be recovered from that wrist hand injury that had been plaguing him. The power is coming back. He's got his first home run of the season. The speed is still there. You know, it's really nice to see. I always say that the Rockies have a very underrated farm system. And I still agree with that. It's just now, instead of being very bottom heavy, it's starting to emerge to the higher levels. In previous seasons, the Fresno Grizzlies had a ton of talent on them. And ironically, they probably have the least in terms of major prospect talent in low A down in Fresno compared to the other teams right now. And that's not to say that Fresno is a bad team. They're off to a great start and they've been a lot of fun to watch, but we've finally stopped being as bottom heavy and things are a little bit more evenly distributed. And that makes, honestly, for me, the farm system more fun to watch because you can tune into any of these leagues, even Albuquerque, who, as bad as their pitching is, the offense is still really fun.
Yeah,
and find somebody to watch.
Because a lot of the pitching has been, you know, Riley Pine's been doing really good down in Albuquerque. A lot of the pitching that's struggling is like veteran guys on minor league contracts. it's a mix, but it's kind of like on the cusp of their depth, if necessary, type of thing.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't say in Albuquerque, it's more position player wise.
Yeah, Albuquerque, the pitching staff is still the tough one. There's been some injuries. Chance Adams and Gavin Hollowell are both on the injured list, and Evan Justice left his most recent appearance due to injury. But like you said, a lot of the guys on that AAA pitching staff are guys who are not necessarily the future of the organization. You have some maybes like Dylan Spain, who just made his AAA debut, or Riley Pint, who he's come a little bit back down to earth, but is doing fairly well. But outside of that, you know, who's your best pitcher, starting pitcher on the Isotopes? It's Ty Block. So that kind of says a lot about where that team is at right now in terms of pitching.
Yeah, this is fun to see. There's growth. There's growth throughout the system. Good to see. The future is bright. At least we hope so. But man, fun stuff to watch. If you're tired of the Rockies, again, we implore you, go watch the minor league teams. Like, all four affiliates, pretty much every single game is available on MLB.TV. If you have MLB TV subscription, you get all those games for free. They're included right in there with you. And you won't always get the home broadcast, but the away teams are also, or the teams that, the home teams are always good.
You know, we're of course biased towards our home broadcasters, you know, Josh Suchon in AAA, Stephen Rice in Fresno. But overall, you know, there's a lot of really solid broadcasting teams in minor league baseball, and you're going to have a good time regardless. It's fun. I've already watched a ton of minor league baseball this season, and it's not just because I do the minor league coverage for the site, but just because it's fun to watch minor league baseball. I would be so happy if minor league baseball returned to Colorado at some point, because I think it's such a shame that, you know, we have some very cool indie teams, but it would be nice to have affiliated ball back here in Colorado again.
But people don't want to deal with the altitude. Anyways,
give me back my Sky Sox. I miss them.
Hey, they're there every Sunday, May through September.
Which is cool. I do appreciate that the vibes are keeping the Sky Sox stuff alive.
But we'll guess I'll bring it this episode to an end, Evan. Minor League Baseball, fun stuff. Keep on watching. The future is bright. Evan, where can the folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Evan_Lang27. You can find me on Mondays at PurpleRow.com writing the Monday Rock Pile and Weekly Pebble Report. Like I said earlier, my article for today is about the Spokane Indians starting rotation. And then I go in, and I'd love to hear some comments on this about, so I took over the Pebble Report from Kenneth Weber, and I'm trying to sort of make it my own thing. So the way that I've been doing it is just a very brief summary of the week for the team. And then sort of like, here are the guys whose I think their stock has gone up. And here are the guys who I think their stock has gone down. And I would love to hear some feedback on what people think of that. I've been enjoying doing it. You can also hit us up. Rocky Mountain Rooftop is on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube, all the same handle. It's Rocky Mountain Rooftop at Rocky Mountain Rooftop at R-O-C-K-Y-M-T-N Rooftop. Skyler, where can the folks find you at?
You can find me over on the Twitters at @sideline_crowd and writing Wednesday Rock Piles. And then mostly just been doing little game recaps and series previews over at fansfirstsports.com. And then occasionally when I have the time or an idea, I'll write other stuff over there. But good stuff overall. We appreciate Fans First Sports Network. We've been here for over a year, Evan. It's been a year.
Oh, wow, it has.
Over a year running here on this new platform, and we appreciate them housing us, and one day we'll be in that top five baseball podcast, but it is not this day, but this day we fight.
I don't know. What did I say? If we get an episode that, I'm trying to remember, if we get an episode that eclipses 500 listens, then I have to eat a whole can of beans on air or something like that.
I don't know, but I hope that doesn't happen.
Just like me wolfing down beans while talking baseball.
You have to eat some fried, what do you call it, scub?
Squab.
Squab? You have to eat a whole squab on air.
Full circle.
Woo. Anyways, we didn't talk about it this week, but we'll get to it next time, probably. But real quick, Daniel Bard does have to get basically Tommy John surgery, out for the season, and pretty much could be the end of his career. And which, no, it's tough to see him go out this way, and we didn't even see him pitch this year. Just tough, and we'll touch on that more in our next episode. Yeah. But just
wishing the best on for Bardo.
Mm-hmm. Says he wants to, maybe try to rehab it, go through the whole rehab process, and try to maybe come back, but I think he'll rehab this year, and then I think it's probably the end of his career. But we'll touch on that more next time, but just so everyone's aware, we'll end on that bummer of a note. But
I made a funny comment about beans and going full circle, and he had to bring us down.
Yes, I did, because the news rolls on. But until next time, I'm Evan. I'm Skylar. That's Evan. Oh, no. I've ruined
identity theft is not a joke, Skylar.
That's Evan. I'm Skylar. This has been Rocky Mountain Rooftop, unaffected by altitude. Flip it, reverse it, all that good stuff. Until next time, hit them with it, Evan.
Farewell.
Well,
I guess I'm Skylar now.
Sucker.